We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we're celebrating one of those highest ranking feasts, which we call Solemnities. And so this Sunday is, of course, the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. Epiphany meaning literally manifestation or revelation. And above all, it's a epiphany, a manifestation, a revelation to the Gentiles, to all those nations who were non-Jewish, to all those who historically were not part of God's chosen people. And specifically, we celebrate the manifestation of God's love, of the mercy of God, a manifestation of God to all peoples, all nations. And like any good father, God is concerned for all his children. It was from his chosen people that he raised up a Savior, as he promised he would do, a Savior who came from the tribe of Judah, and specifically from the line of King David. And God raised up one who is king, one who is prophet, one who is priest, one who is Savior of the world. And it's from him, Jesus Christ, that this manifestation or epiphany is given. Now, on Christmas, the feast of the birth of Jesus, we saw the initial manifestation both to the people of Israel, including the shepherds, who were considered the lowliest of all the peoples in the ancient world, and to the Gentiles. The shepherds actually found the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The shepherds, we could say, also found their own shepherd. They found the good shepherd who would lead them to the fullness of God, to the fullness of truth, who would lead them to salvation and to freedom for their souls. And now we hear that it's by way of this star that God brought three Gentile kings, or magi is the word that's used, or three wise men, to worship his son. Before Mass, I was saying one of the great things about being a priest who hasn't been ordained very long is I'm continuing to learn things. And I posted this morning, as I do almost every morning on my Facebook page, a meditation on today's gospel from the Archdiocese of Washington. And that meditation on the Epiphany pointed out that one of the reasons that we think of these magi as possibly or probably being kings, at least a couple of them, is because of what we're given in the responsorial psalm, in Psalm 72, where the psalm anticipates that these kings are going to be coming to worship and to bear gifts to the Savior. So we refer to them as magi, as wise men, and kings, not being entirely certain of their status. But they certainly were important people, and they certainly were Gentiles. What's amazing is that almost all of God's chosen people entirely missed the birth of their Messiah. As we heard in the gospel, when the three wise men came to Jerusalem in search of the king, we're told that not only did Herod's heart tremble, but Matthew tells us that the hearts of all Jerusalem trembled as well. They were troubled by the fact that the Savior was born. Now, why would they be troubled? Well, many of them must have been afraid because they recognized that their way of life that they had gotten accustomed to was going to have to change. King Herod evidently was terrified because his kingdom, and remember, he's basically just a vassal king of the Roman Empire, his kingdom, he believed, was about to come to an end. Just think about it, however. If Herod had done what he told the Magi he would do, that is, if he had gone and worshipped the child, Herod himself would have been set free from all these terrors, anxieties. He would have had the freedom to be a real king, to be the king that he desired to be. But ultimately, because of his selfishness, his desire to keep power the way he had it, and to keep his kingship in a worldly way, the way he understood kingship, Herod wanted instead to destroy this child. But there seems also to have been some lack of faith among the common people of Israel. And again, think about it. They probably wanted simply to continue living their lives as they had known it. If there was indeed a newborn Messiah in Bethlehem, they would have expected that this Messiah was going to lead a campaign against the Roman occupiers. There would be lots of trouble, lots of bloodshed, lots of people killed, lots of destroyed land and property. And then, of course, we remember that some 70 years later, the Romans did indeed destroy everything. They destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. And the loss of life at that time, in the year 70 AD, was certainly in the hundreds of thousands in Jerusalem and the whole area nearby. But let's go back to these three magi. We can wonder why, evidently, only these three recognized the sign in the sky, the star, and traveled to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Well, perhaps God had revealed this star only to the three of them so that they would be able to go back to their home countries and in some way begin to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the Messiah, to proclaim what they had seen, at least in some way to lay a foundation so that when years later St. Paul and the other apostles traveled into Gentile territory, the hearts of the people would be, to some extent, prepared. In any event, the people of Israel had not understood and seemed largely to have missed the birth of the Messiah. And as we heard in the scriptures, especially the temple priests and other religious leaders who would have known all the prophecies, they should have recognized the Messiah. But they did not believe. And as the prophet Isaiah had said, they dwelled in darkness. And of course, if a Messiah really had been born, as we have thought about it, the whole entire old order would have to come to an end. The chief priests in the temple, they would lose their positions, and the Messiah, the new high priest, would be raised up, one who would be a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now let's fast forward 2,000 years and ask ourselves about the light of Jesus Christ as it's been revealed to each of us. On the day of our baptism, a candle was given to our Godfather with a beautiful prayer which speaks about faith and that how this candle represented the light that would lead us through the darkness of the world into eternity. And you and I today can ask ourselves, are we willing, like the three magi, when they saw the star and recognized what it meant, are we willing, would we be willing, to leave our present earthly kingdom and follow Jesus Christ absolutely without any reservation? Are we willing to change whatever it is still in our lives that keeps us dwelling in darkness, an area where perhaps we do not want God to tell us how we are to live, because it would mean that we would have to change? Do we want to hang on to some kind of false freedom, some freedom to sin, rather than to the freedom to be the sons of God that has been revealed to us? This mystery has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, as St. Paul puts it, and needs now to be accepted and to be lived completely by each one of us. You and I, literally every day, we need to choose the light. We need to recognize that Jesus Christ is our God. He's our shepherd, our king, and one way or another, every day, we are to bow down and worship him, giving him not exactly gold and frankincense and myrrh, as beautiful as that is, but giving him most especially our hearts, giving him our lives, our very selves. And then we need to ourselves be the light in the darkness, to be the light which guides us on the path to him, to eternity in heaven, in the kingdom where he has prepared a place for us. So we want to follow his guiding light. That's what he desires for you and me, and that's what he's already done in each one of us, beginning at baptism. Now it's a matter, as St. Paul says, of you and me accepting the epiphany, accepting the manifestation, accepting the revelation that has been given to us, the revelation hidden from ages past, but now revealed in our hearts and our minds. You and I don't want to be going down the path of Herod and the chief priests who, when we're confronted with the reality of the Messiah, would tremble at the mystery and reject it and choose to remain in darkness. Like the three magi, the three wise men, the three kings, we need to be humble enough to accept this awesome mystery. We need to leave the ways of this world and to live according to the way of Jesus Christ. Every day we need to bow down and worship him.